Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Let's talk about the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, Tim, we've seen how it has continued to accelerate around the world. But if you really think about it, you know, there's still a lot, in fact, most of the world's population yet to receive the full course of injections.
That's true. It's true indeed. And once we are all injected, the ones who want to get the vaccine and the ones who are eligible, then what happens next? We get issued a certificate.
A vaccine cert. Vaccinated.
A record of vaccination, I guess. Even here in Singapore, I was issued one, which says I've done one. So when I go back for my second one, I have to go there, bring the same. So they said you can, don't have to bring all the other pamphlets. You can throw them away, but bring this paper for vaccination.
I mean, we're lucky here, you know, your SingPass or your TraceTogether app will reflect.
Also have a record, a record of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, in some countries, you can only imagine if the tech isn't as well done, then, you know, it's like being a pet, you know, you have a vaccine card, you know, or back in school.
Well, remember, we were talking about this last week, the vaccine passport issue, because in some countries, you get paper vaccine certificate. In some countries, it's digital. In some countries, like Singapore, we get both.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got plans, you know, being made internationally to allow those who have been vaccinated or can prove that they've had a negative test, at least a recent negative test, at least, allowing them freedom to travel to other countries or take on large scale events. Who knows? Maybe even take a new job for that matter.
Which is being done in the US, by the way.
Yeah.
Some companies, in a bid to encourage more people to get vaccinated, will require a vaccine certification when you apply for a new job.
Wow. Okay, that's one way. That's one way. So that means there's a demand for vaccinations and test results because of, well, greater freedom, greater privilege, greater normality.
And so when it comes to this, the demand for more of these certificates, there could be a problem as well on the flip side of it.
Yeah. So Checkpoint Research, or CPR, in their recent research spotted a new trend where hackers have begun to offer fake vaccination certificates impersonating official entities on the dark net.
So these ads are selling, well, the spiked 300% in the last 3 months, fact, and has now included brands like J&J, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Sputnik, Sinopharm. For as low as $500. See, it's expensive.
It's still cheaper than getting a proper test.
Or even getting a vaccine.
Or
which
a vaccine.
Is free. Why would you pay $500 to get a fake certificate?
Let's find out more. Sharad Sinha, who is Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies, is on the line. Sharad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are you?
We're great, sir. We're great, sir. And we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us on this very troubling subject, fake COVID-19 tests and vaccine certs being sold on the dark net. Tell us more about this research that you guys conducted.
Yeah, we are observing this interesting trend, as being one of the world's leading cybersecurity companies in the world, we constantly monitor activities on the internet as well as on the dark net to make sure that various governments, businesses globally are protected against, and as well as consumers are protected against these threats. And as these vaccination certificates become qualification criteria to travel or get jobs and other things, we are seeing trends that these vaccination certificates are becoming available on the darknet for sale, particularly for people who are not vaccinated or don't have access to vaccination and they still want to travel or enter a country or participate in events, etc.
So what
they are the clients,
What I don't understand here, Sharad, is the cost of getting a vaccine certificate, for example. Why pay to get a fake vaccine certificate when you can actually get a vaccine at no cost?
Look, if everybody had access to vaccines and everybody wanted to get the vaccine, then probably this problem won't exist. But then there are places where access to vaccination is not there. And there are some people who don't want to get vaccinated, and they happen to have economic means to buy it. Those are the kind of people who would use it. And obviously, these are criminal activities, so you don't expect law-abiding citizens to use it. But there are some people who buy it, and there are some people who sell it.
Okay. You know, based on the trend that you guys have observed, how then does the transaction work? It's not like everyone knows how to find. It's not like www.darknet.com and you're in the darknet,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
It does take some know-how.
That's right. So to access darknet, you need specialized software to access these peer-to-peer networks, and you don't obviously go through the normal internet.
Okay.
So some people directly access it, because obviously it's a criminal activity, transactions happen through cryptocurrencies, etc. But then there are some agents who could get you there. Sometimes it comes through phishing. For example, you might get an SMS or a message stating that this is a place where you go for registration. You go there, and you know, it starts offering you those kind of options. Sometimes you get phone calls related to it, especially in countries where these vaccinations are being rolled out. And somebody might offer you that. So the various means people can get there. There are some people who directly access the direct darknet. Sometimes there are brokers who can get you there.
So what do you think then can be done, Sharat, to stop fake COVID-19 test results or even vaccination certificates from being offered on the darknet?
So key thing is, first of all, for governments to have a digital repository which is signed by appropriate authorities with QR codes, etc., making sure that these certificates are valid and they can be validated at that point, wherever it needs to be checked, either immigration points or other places where these are used, and making sure that governments have arrangements between them. For example, between Greece and Israel, they already recognize each other's vaccination certificates, known as green transports. Even in Singapore, there is a digital certificate you get after getting vaccinated, which can be validated, and there is a central repository for it.
So last week, I was talking about how the IATA, the travel industry group, is convincing or trying to urge governments to come on board and have a proper standard digital one for a vaccination passport of some sort that each country can use. But is that possible, or why is it a challenge to do that?
Look, it is very much possible. It will require some effort. So in such cases, all data of tests and vaccinated population could be digitally signed with encrypted keys and be kept at a central repository, a database, which can be accessed by either IATA or other such organizations. It is possible. It is very much like using any digital information at a centralized place where people have access to it. And it can be tied to people's national identity, like NRIC in Singapore, for example, and that information can be validated.
Right. So we could do something like the biometric passport, where at some point, I mean, how long is it going to take, you know, where you're at the point where in your passport, when you go through biometric check-in for that matter, everything is there already. Bon voyage, so-and-so, but you are a vaccinated person or you have tested negative for COVID.
That's right. And just like, you know, many things have led to more digital activities, including, for example, you know, e-commerce, etc. I think this will expedite use of biometrics and digital ways of storing things and using them.
Okay. Okay, for sure. What else can be done to stop this trend of fake test results and vaccine certs?
Look, process-wise, airports and border keepers or any official enforcement agent could have the ability to scan a QR barcode, for example, which is digitally signed without the digital signature. Because without the digital signature, the code is highly exploitable.
Okay.
On the certificate. So this code could then be linked to a secured repository between the nations that can validate the authenticity of the paper. And on the other hand, there should be penalty around anybody trying to misuse it, because both buyers and sellers of such certificates are basically criminals.
That's
and
if we can
awareness
find
around it. Sorry, that is true, but creating awareness around them is critical. But, you know, anybody trying to use a fake certificate, for example, if they found, there should be penalties around it. So there should be a process, first of all, so that it can be validated. Second should be, there should be a way of interworking between various countries, various enforcement agencies, etc., to have that central repository. And third should be clear guidelines. And I think it also involves a lot of information and education to general masses so that they become aware. The first step being something like this awareness that you're creating through this discussion.
But, you know, looking at this situation, I can't help but think that it creates job opportunities in a sense that, you know, what does this do for professionals in the cybersecurity sort of industry? For the longest time, it's been playing catch up. And now there's even more things to catch up with. Where do you see cybersecurity moving towards then?
Look, cybersecurity, as you rightly said, it's catch up. Sometimes you try to get ahead of things, but there are always some new trends and challenges that are posed by these hackers or cyber criminals, which need to be addressed. So in this specific area, for example, making sure that various devices are protected and they identify such trends. So for example, if you get a phishing email related to COVID certificate, by identifying the website or source of that information, can we prevent it rather than waiting for it to be detected and addressed? So taking a prevention-based approach is where cybersecurity can help. And I think professionals who know this can help. Second is around building processes around cybersecurity and creating awareness, making sure that people don't fall victims to such activities is another area. But cybersecurity is an evolving area. It consistently requires people to develop solutions to ongoing threats which come on a daily basis.
Sharad, final question for you, and I apologize ahead of time because this is going to be a tough question. It's a bit of a morality question, and you know, I just want to get your opinion. It's purely an opinion. With the rise in these bad guys and the need for more measures to enforce or more measures to protect those who follow the rules, what are your thoughts on the views that it may take away certain freedoms? Just to make sure that we don't fall victim to these sort of bad guys.
Right. Look, there is always a balance between privacy and protection. Mm. And each society and each country has to find that balance. I am somebody who believes in protection of masses rather than having over, security or privacy of personal data. But that balance needs to be found. Okay. In fact, the privacy and protection of personal data also gives you protection. And at this stage, given the level of threats, et cetera, I think some level of control on privacy is required. At the same time, it's manageable. If people are conscious, if people are aware, they can manage both their privacy. At the same time, stay protected from these cyber criminals or any kind of criminal activities in the net.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. We've been speaking with Sharad Sinha, who is Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific Checkpoint Software Technologies. Thanks again for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.